Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Texas to find and vaccinate homebound seniors against COVID-19. The Associated Press, Corpus Christi. Texas officials are taking a page from Corpus Christi's playbook and stepping up efforts to vaccinate seniors against COVID-19. Governor Greg Abbott announced at the Save Our Seniors initiative at a news conference in Corpus Christi on Thursday, saying that more than 1,100 National Guard troops will be deployed to help communities identify homebound seniors and vaccinate them against the new coronavirus that causes COVID-19. Corpus Christi Mayor Paulette Guajardo says the city's fire department has administered 2,000 vaccines in the past month to homebound seniors identified by the city's Meals on Wheels program, and that 144 have been vaccinated fully. The vaccinations came as state health officials reported 7,011 new coronavirus cases and 305 new deaths from COVID-19, the illness the coronavirus causes. Here are more articles from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Friday, February 26th. Who is at fault? Investigation into Texas blackout begins, by Paul J. Weber and David Coing, Associated Press. Austin. The catastrophic Texas blackout was a wider failure than the state's power grid, which teetered on the brink of an even bigger collapse during a freeze that knocked out electricity to 4 million customers, energy executives said Thursday. One CEO said he sounded warning for days before what became one of the worst power outages in U.S. history, including to the office of Republican Governor Greg Abbott, whose regulatory appointees came under sharp criticism during the first investigative hearing since last week's crisis. Leaders of other power companies said they thought the system would hold, while also acknowledging that a failure to buttress their generators against sub-freezing weather contributed to the outages. Who is at fault? State Representative Todd Hunter, a Republican, demanded of witnesses during hours of testimony at the Texas Capitol. President Joe Biden is set to fly to Texas on Friday in what will be his first visit to a major disaster site since taking office. Abbott has zeroed in almost singularly on the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, accusing the state's embattled grid operator of misleading the public about the readiness of a system that was minutes away from total collapse in the early hours of February 15th, when temperatures plunged and demand for electricity vastly outstripped supply. But energy executives, including those whose companies lavishly donate to Abbott and lawmakers, made clear that the fault is far wider. That testimony offered a troubling new look at how quickly America's energy capital ran out of energy. Chris Morgan, the CEO of Vistra Corporation, told lawmakers at the outset that the blackouts affected plants that could have generated more power that was urgently needed. He said, when officials from his company called utility providers, they were told they weren't a priority. How can a power plant be at the bottom of the list of priorities? Morgan said. You know what hit the fan, and everybody's going, you're turning off my power plant? He said. At least 40 people in Texas died as a result of the storm, and 10 days after the blackout started, more than 1 million people in the state were still under boil water notices. ERCOT officials have claimed that the scale of the forced blackouts, the largest in Texas history, were necessary to avert an even more catastrophic failure that would have wiped out power to most of the state's 30 million residents for months. Obviously, what you did didn't work, said Democratic State Senator Whitmire of Houston, which had more than 1 million outages. It worked from keeping us from going into a blackout that we'd still be in today. That's why we did it, ERCOT President Bill Magnus said. Now, it didn't work for people's lives, but it worked to preserve the integrity of the system. Among Vistra's subsidiaries is Luminant, which operates nearly two dozen plants across Texas. Morgan blamed outdated lists of critical infrastructure in Texas for darkening gas processors and production sites as grid managers began shutting off parts of the system. Morgan didn't say how many of the company's plants were turned off or for how long, but he did say the company was within 3 minutes of power going offline at one nuclear plant, and that the main power grid in America's energy capital was just moments away from total collapse, February 15th. He said he had reached out to state officials, including Abbott's office, with concerns. "We came dangerously close to losing the entire electric system," Morgan said. Of Texas's power generators that were not operational during the storm, Magnus said the freeze was responsible for 42% of the failures. A lack of fuel and equipment damage unrelated to the weather also contributed. But Magnus said that for 38% of the plant outages, the problem remains unclear. Republican lawmakers pulled no punches in criticizing Deanne Walker, chairwoman of the Public Utility Commission, who was appointed to the regulatory agency by Abbott. Several were frustrated by her claims the commission had little enforcement leverage over ERCOT. "You are the chair. I would contend you are choosing not to leverage the authority we have given you. This is a serious problem," Senator Brandon Crichton said. The outages lasted days for millions of Texas homes, and millions more lost water as water treatment plants shut down and miles of pipes burst across the state. The toll of the storm included at least 15 hypothermia-related deaths around Houston, said Democratic State Representative Ana Hernandez, vice chairwoman of the House State Affairs Committee. "The crisis has put Texas's power and fossil fuel industry under heavy scrutiny from lawmakers who reap millions of dollars in unlimited political contributions from energy interests, more than any other sector. Since 2017, Vistra Energy and its Political Action Committee has donated more than $1.4 million to Texas politicians and groups associated with both political parties, according to state campaign finance records." Lawmakers also heard early Thursday from the top executive of NRG Energy, which has donated more than $405,000 since 2017, including $30,000 to Abbott. Texas manufacturing accelerates despite uncertainty over Biden, snowstorm, and oil. By Austin Hugolet and Katie Cull, Austin American Statesman. A key measure of Texas manufacturing suggested productivity sharply accelerated in February as it notched one of its best scores since the start of the pandemic. The Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas's latest survey of manufacturing executives across the state also marked upticks in the numbers, reporting increases in new orders, shipments, and capacity usage after a brief dip in January that followed another uptick in December. A measure of manufacturing jobs slipped some from January, but Emily Kerr, a senior business economist at the bank, noted in an analysis that it still indicated increased headcounts. She also noted that 21% of firms responding to the survey said they had added to their headcounts, while 8% said the opposite. It wasn't all roses, though. Reports of prices for raw materials hit a 10-year high amid supply chain disruptions, and executives continued to voice concerns about the pandemic. Consistency of the available workforce is hurt by the need to quarantine because of family exposure to COVID-19, one executive in fabricated metal manufacturing told the bank. "Thank goodness for our early cross-training of personnel." Another boss in machinery manufacturing railed on new President Joe Biden's proposal to increase the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. "A $15 minimum wage would kill our small business," they said. Others also expressed surprise at the collapse of Texas's power grid last week and said they would need to think about preparing for similar events in the future. Even so, more executives felt good about future growth than not, and a few comments indicated there are already some bright spots. We had a record year last year, and we should blow it away this year, a machinery manufacturing executive said. The electronics and medical sectors are booming. Things were decidedly less rosy in the service sector. February's score on the main index says there was slightly better than it was in an unremarkable January, but remained well off pre-pandemic highs. Like their counterparts in manufacturing, many executives responding to the survey took a dim view of the new Biden administration, COVID restrictions, and the unexpected collapse of the power grid last week. Unless we get past the COVID partial shutdown soon, small businesses will continue to fail, leaving a long-term effect on local economies, one said. A few found reason to be optimistic as more people get vaccinated against COVID-19, though. I'm hopeful with the vaccine rollout and indications of lower hospitalizations that some normalcy may occur by mid-year, said one of the insurance businesses. Such an uptick will be critical for the retail sector, which has proven especially vulnerable to the pandemic. Like in many recent months, there were more retail executives reporting drops in sales than executives reporting increases in February, so the sector's main index remained in the red. There were also more executives with negative perceptions of the broader business climate and their company's outlook than those with positive views. Still, Christopher Slijic, an associate economist at the Dallas Fed, wrote in an analysis that, in the aggregate, the executives surveyed were optimistic about the future. Expectations for future business activity hit a three-year high in February, Slijic noted, and retail executives were the most optimistic about their future sales prospects that they've been since October. Distributed by Tribune Content Agency. Abbott weighs end to mask order, other statewide COVID rules, Texas Tribune. Governor Greg Abbott said Thursday that Texas is looking at when it will be able to lift all statewide orders related to the coronavirus pandemic and that an announcement is forthcoming. Abbott made the comments at a Corpus Christi news conference where he was asked when the statewide mask mandate would end as Texans continue to get vaccinated. That requirement has been in effect since July. Abbott called it a great question. We're working right now on evaluating when we're going to be able to remove all statewide orders, and we will be making announcements about that pretty soon, Abbott said, without giving a specific time frame. In addition to the mask mandate, statewide orders in effect include a policy that rolls back business reopenings in a hospital region if its COVID-19 patients exceed 15% of hospital capacity for 7 days. Abbott put that policy in place last fall. Only 5.1% of Texans had been fully vaccinated as of Tuesday, though Abbott has been optimistic that the pace will pick up as more vaccines are made available to Texas. Experts say Texas is a long way from reaching herd immunity through the vaccines. Hitting the 70% to 80% level that many estimate is needed would mean vaccinating some 22 million people, or nearly 100% of adults in the state, according to census numbers. The vaccines are currently not approved for children under 16, who make up about 23% of the population. Scientists do not yet know for sure whether or how well the vaccines prevent the spread of the virus, though some preliminary research has suggested that some vaccines might be able to do so to some extent. The Centers for Disease Control recommends that people who have received 2 doses of the vaccine continue to avoid crowds, stay at least 6 feet away from people who live outside their households, and wear masks to cover their nose and mouth. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease doctor, has repeatedly said that he does not know when Americans will be able to return to normal, but that they may still need to continue wearing face masks into 2022. Abbott has faced scrutiny from some of his fellow Republicans for how he has wielded his executive authority to issue statewide pandemic rules and multiple GOP proposals have been introduced at the legislature to curb his power. ERCOT saw blackout potential days beforehand by Noreen S. Malik, Joe Carroll, David Weth, and Mark Chediak, Bloomberg. Texas lawmakers' attempt to understand why the state's power system failed last week yielded plenty of blame, but few clear answers on how to prevent a similar crisis in the future. In two marathon hearings Thursday, lawmakers grilled the state's biggest power providers, its grid operator, and regulators about the blackouts that left more than 4 million homes and businesses without heat, light, and water during a deep winter freeze. Executives from Calpine Corporation, Vistra Corporation, and NRG Energy Incorporated blamed natural gas supply shortages, grid disturbances, and a lack of communication from the grid operator known as ERCOT. ERCOT, meanwhile, said it simply followed the rules and direction set by the Public Utility Commission, which in turn said it lacked authority to tell ERCOT what to do. This is the largest train wreck in the history of deregulated electricity, Republican Senator Brandon Crichton said during the marathon hearings Thursday. The historic outage caused as much as $129 billion in economic losses, and the impact to individual companies is only starting to emerge. Some electricity providers racked up huge losses, fueling a possible credit crisis. Oil and gas producers saw their output halted, and dozens of people died. Generators, the grid operator, and politicians have clashed over who is to blame, pointing fingers at power plants that didn't prepare for winter, Texas's highly deregulated power market, and issues with the grid itself. Key highlights. Calpine, Vistra, and NRG said natural gas shortages affected their ability to operate. Not only did freezing weather shut in some gas production, the blackouts ordered by grid operator ERCOT compounded cut power to pipelines. The companies also said plants were forced offline after the flow of electricity on the grid, called frequency, plunged. That contradicts the version of events presented by ERCOT. Vistra and NRG chief executive officers both said that their companies would not pass high energy prices from the event onto their customers. ERCOT anticipated that blackouts were possible for 4 to 5 days before the grid emergency occurred. Calpine CEO warned that a grid emergency was possible. $9,000 energy price necessitated by computer glitch. The $9,000 a megawatt hour price cap imposed during the power crisis was necessary to ensure that all available generation was being offered to the grid, Public Utility Commissioner of Texas Chair Deanne Walker told lawmakers. That price cap is meant to be in place whenever there is a load shed event, she said. But a computer glitch on ERCOT's system was lowering the price as the grid operator built up reserves to stabilize the grid on February 15th. That lower price was discouraging gas generators from bidding in. The signal was being sent to dispatch that there was sufficient generation on the system, Walker said. When those signals were being sent, generation was backing down. However, she said that the state needs to review whether the price cap should be kept so high for so many days. ERCOT saw blackout potential days beforehand. Grid operator ERCOT anticipated that blackouts were possible 4 to 5 days before the grid emergency occurred, Chief Executive Officer Bill Magnus told lawmakers. Modeling indicated that the state could be short on power supplies on the mornings of February 15th and February 16th, he said. A notice to conserve energy was issued publicly on February 13th, according to an ERCOT presentation. A blackout warning went out on February 14th, hours before the outages began. Calpine says it wasn't warned of blackouts. Calpine Chief Executive Officer Thad Hill said Texas's grid operator did not warn the company ahead of time that a grid emergency was possible. I felt that when I went to bed Sunday night that we were in good shape, he said. He also said he wasn't aware of any plan from shifting from rolling blackouts into controlled blackouts. Nobody communicated to us directly on that. As a result, Calpine wasn't able to warn customers in a timely fashion, he said. Vistra and NRG say costs won't pass to customers. Vistra and NRG executives said that their companies would not pass high energy prices from the event onto their customers. Spiking gas prices during the event offset the revenues made from selling electricity at the $9,000 a megawatt hour price cap, they said. There was a significant amount of wealth transfer from power to gas, Vistra Chief Executive Officer Kurt Morgan said. We're the guy sitting in the middle, getting it from both ends. Gas supply issues fueled outages. Calpine, Vistra, and NRG all said gas supply shortages affected their ability to operate. Not only did freezing weather shut in some gas production, the blackouts ordered by ERCOT compounded the issue, as power was cut from pipeline compressors necessary to transport the fuel to power plants. If natural gas is compromised, the power system is going to be compromised, said NRG President Mauricio Gutierrez. While NRG had contracted gas supplies, low pressure on pipelines feeding the system affected the company's ability to run plants at capacity. Vistra's Morgan said that despite having 90% of plants available to run, we just couldn't get the gas. Calpine's Hill said in written testimony that the company lost one gas-fired unit after a gas supplier lost electricity. He later said the company lost 40% of its gas supply on Tuesday after the blackouts were ordered. Grid operator generators disagree on grid issues. Vistra, Calpine, and NRG said they had plants forced offline after the flow of electricity on the grid, called frequency, plunged during the early morning of February 15th when blackouts were first ordered. Their comments contradict the version of events presented by the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, known as ERCOT, which manages most of the state's grid. We have examined this. We haven't seen it, ERCOT's Magnus said in testimony before the Texas Senate. If plants did go offline in tandem with the dip, it would only have been around 10 units, a number dwarfed by the total that was offline due to the weather and gas supply issues, he said. Maintaining frequency around 60 hertz is critical to keeping the grid stable. ERCOT operating protocols say a deviation of 0.2 hertz for a long period could cause damage to generators and customer equipment. On the day of the blackouts, frequency dipped to 59.4 hertz for 4 minutes and 23 seconds, according to an ERCOT presentation. It fell as low as 59.3, according to Bloomberg data. NRG's Gutierrez said the dip threatened the majority of the fleet, but ultimately only caused one plant to go offline. Calpine's Hill said in written testimony that two of the company's natural gas-fired power plants tripped offline for the same reason. Vistra was within 3 minutes of losing Comanche Peak nuclear plant because of low frequency, Morgan said. We came dangerously close to losing the system, he said. Winter storm could cost Texas more money than any disaster in state history, by Mitchell Furman, Texas Tribune. The winter storm that left dozens of Texans dead, millions without power, and nearly 15 million with water issues, could be the costliest disaster in state history, potentially exceeding the $125 billion in damage from Hurricane Harvey. The deadly 2017 hurricane devastated the Gulf Coast region. Last week's winter storm impacted every region of the state, a reason why experts and officials are discussing the possibility of damage and cost exceeding those from Hurricane Harvey. All 254 counties will have been impacted in some way by the freeze, said Lee Loftus, director of government affairs for the Independent Insurance Agents of Texas. That is just unheard of. As of Monday, state agencies reported spending $41 million on the storm, and local governments spent $49 million, according to Nim Kidd, chief of the Texas Department of Emergency Management. Kidd said he expects the state to be reimbursed for 75% of its expenses by the federal government. Only a fraction of local governments reported their spending, and he said the expenses already incurred by state and local governments only account for emergency costs. Kidd has not yet reported the cost of the damage to state infrastructure. Loftus said it is too early to tally the total cost of destruction, and State Senator Jane Nelson, chair of the powerful Senate Finance Committee that hosted Kidd on Monday, said the state share of the financial toll is not yet known. But while state lawmakers over the last decade repeatedly ignored recommendations to protect the state's power grid from extreme weather, they have an opportunity to address the energy and water crises and possibly prevent Texans from ever having to go again endure days without basic necessities like clean water and working lights. Lawmakers are in the middle of the 2021 legislative session, where they have been working through issues unrelated to the twin crises since they convened at the Capitol in January. Back then, State Comptroller Glenn Hegar told lawmakers how much money they'd have to spend on a state budget for the next 2 years. After a bleak prediction last summer, when Hegar told lawmakers he projected that they would have a $4 billion deficit in 2021, Hegar had rosier news for lawmakers in January. Hagar's projection in January was roughly a $1 billion deficit, still a deficit, but significantly better than his previous estimate from the summer when the coronavirus was ravaging the economy. Last week's winter storm exposed problems lawmakers failed to address in previous legislative sessions and showed the vulnerability of the state's natural gas system, which was not prepared for the cold. Now, lawmakers say they will take action. They have until May to write the state budget for the next 2 years. Leaders in the state House and Senate already released their preliminary budgets, which did not dedicate money toward the kinds of measures that would prevent another power grid failure. Abbott has asked lawmakers to reform the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, the state's power grid operator. He asked lawmakers to mandate the winterization of generators and power plants, a proposal previously floated but not implemented by state leaders in the aftermath of another winter storm in 2011. And Abbott requested that lawmakers provide power companies with funding to make the necessary changes. But retroactively equipping power plants to withstand cold temperatures is likely to be very difficult and costly, energy experts said. Building energy infrastructure to perform in winter conditions is easier and cheaper, they said. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick on Tuesday released a list of 31 legislative priorities, a mix of newly urgent issues after the storm, familiar topics stemming from the coronavirus pandemic, and a host of hot-button conservative issues. Patrick's list was vague and did not provide specifics. Almost all of his priority bills have not been filed. It is unclear where the money for storm-related bills would come from. Lawmakers have access to the state's savings account called the Economic Stabilization Fund, or Rainy Day Fund, which has more than $10 billion for them to spend. State Representative Lyle Larson, Republican San Antonio, said Sunday that the Rainy Day Fund should be used to offset increased energy costs for ratepayers. There will be federal assistance for Texas, as Kidd emphasized in Monday's Senate Finance Committee meeting. Texans in more than 100 counties can already begin applying for federal emergency management agency relief, totaling $45 billion to $50 billion for the state. EOG Resources reports fourth quarter profit. Associated Press, Houston. EOG Resources Incorporated on Thursday reported fourth quarter profit of $337.5 million. On a per share basis, the Houston-based company said it had net income of 58 cents. Earnings adjusted for asset impairment costs and non-recurring costs came to 71 cents per share. The results exceeded Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of 10 analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of 38 cents per share. The oil and gas company posted revenue of $2.97 billion in the period, also surpassing street forecasts. Five analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $2.9 billion. For the year, the company reported a loss of $604.6 million, or $1.04 per share, swinging to a loss in the period. Revenue was reported as $11.03 billion. EOG Resources shares have increased 42% since the beginning of the year, while the Standard & Poor's 500 index has climbed 2%. In the final minutes of trading on Thursday, shares hit $70.59, an increase of slightly more than 5% in the last 12 months.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Concerned about GFR levels. Dear Dr. Roach, I am 81 years old and in good health. I take no medications, but I am concerned about my GFR level. In 2018, my level dropped below normal at 58.5. In 2019, my level was 54.9, then 39.7, and back up to 58.5 6 days later. In 2020, my level was 51.3. The level so far in 2021 is 50.1. The doctor says she will monitor the level and also doesn't know what caused the level to be 39.7, except to ask if I had taken Advil, which I had not. How concerning are my GFR levels, and is it normal for the GFR to fluctuate? Does the amount of water you drink help to improve the GFR level? J. Answer. All body functions fluctuate to greater and lesser extents. The GFR is a measurement of the kidney function and uses a measurement of creatinine, a muscle breakdown product, to estimate the kidney's filtering ability. A temporary increase in creatinine from not having enough fluids, for example, can make the kidney function appear worse. Drinking more fluid than necessary does not help GFR and can actually cause problems in older people by reducing the blood sodium level.
Mom's life has less stress after man leaves for prison. Dear Abby, for Friday, February 26th, 2021. Dear Abby, I recently had a child with a man who is now incarcerated. I was widowed when I met him, and although he brought me happiness, it has come at a steep price. I pay for literally everything. I love him very much, but his entitlement was an issue even before he had legal issues. Now he has become very nasty and minimizes everything I do. If I send $100, he's upset that I didn't send $200. If I have a day off from work that I don't spend communicating with a lawyer and the courts, I'm not taking initiative. He has even gone so far as to say it was my fault he got in trouble because I was on his case so often that he had to go out to get some peace. His only redeeming quality is his wonderful relationship with the kids, who see none of our fights and regard him as a father figure. He is now even more negative and derogatory than when he was at home. I manage a busy restaurant and a household of five children. Since he has been away, I'm ashamed to say life has actually become less stressful. I think my loneliness when I met him made it easier to ignore red flags. In every other aspect of my life, I am an independent woman who has the respect of my peers. Is it too late to set boundaries with him? Growing in Florida. Dear Growing, this emotionally abusive individual is milking you like you are a Guernsey cow. His ingratitude is boundless. You are not the reason he got himself in trouble with the law, and it isn't your responsibility to get him out or support him financially. It is way too late to set boundaries with this manipulative ingrate. He won't change. What you must do now, for your own sake and for your children's, is to tell him you are finished and cut ties with him. Dear Abby, I live in Kansas and my boyfriend lives in another state. We talk online all the time, but I haven't heard from him in 3 days and I don't know what to think. My friends say I'm being paranoid, but I can't help but think he might be seeing another girl. I've had problems like this before and ended up getting hurt because I didn't listen when my friends told me that a guy was cheating. What should I do? Long distance love. Dear LDL, recognize that as much as two people might care about each other, long distance romances don't always have fairy tale endings. I don't know if your boyfriend is cheating. Neither do you, and neither do your friends. It's time for you to have a calm conversation with your boyfriend. Tell him you were worried by his 3-day silence because it was unusual. Let him respond. If you are satisfied with his answer, change the subject. However, if you aren't, ask him if he has met someone closer to home and tell him to level with you. It takes courage to do this, but it will save you a lot of pain in the long run.
Royal Stars Horoscopes by Madeline Aslan. The stars are the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Aquarius and a moon in Leo until 12:07 p.m. when the moon enters Virgo. Happy birthday for Friday, February 26, 2021. Empathic, sensitive, and magnetic, you move people deeply. This year, your dedicated attention earned you many followers. July will be your most ambitious month. If single, you can be a shy lone wolf and must make an effort this year if you want to be with your soulmate. If attached, you and your partner can communicate without speaking. Your bond is unbreakable. Sagittarius helps you to take care of yourself less seriously. Aries, March 21st to April 19th, 3 stars. Your sense of adventure deepens. You'll learn to wander and explore. Dreams and visions must not be taken literally. Direct your heightened imagination and creativity into constructive ends. A domestic matter demands your attention and can be sorted out. Tonight, an especially healthy meal. Taurus, April 20th, May 20th, 5 stars. Today ushers in a cycle of happiness. Reach out to those you care about, even ones you haven't talked to in a long time. Visit an art display or complete creative projects. Get all the facts before acting. Tonight, patience is a must. Gemini, May 21st to June 20th, 3 stars. Seek inner harmony and release stress. A family member is feeling very adventurous and may surprise you by taking a gamble. Take sensible precautions and all will be well. Genealogical study uncovers interesting facts. Tonight, it's a wonderful time to redecorate your workspace. Cancer, June 21 to July 22, 3 stars. A sibling or neighbor is changing. Don't be in denial when obvious signs are being sent. Be diplomatic when discussing controversial issues. Call ahead and confirm plans. Transportation needs are being considered, and information exchange is very important. Tonight, return calls promptly. Leo, July 23rd, August 22nd, 3 stars. Thoughts mostly revolve around your earning power. You work hard for your family's security. Shop for an item you've long coveted in the days before the pandemic. Keep receipts. A purchase might have to be exchanged. Tonight, study your habits regarding money. Virgo, August 23rd, September 22nd. 5 stars. Today marks one of the most promising times all year. Career and personal opportunities abound. Enjoy life and put plans in motion for future dreams. Write your new resolutions, schedule appointments, and begin projects you've been interested in. Tonight, celebrate quietly. Libra, September 23rd, August 22nd. Memories of a lost love must be kept in perspective. Your interest in helping the disadvantaged grows. Quietly, you will act and do much good in the world. Tonight, there are thoughts and feelings you'd prefer to keep to yourself for the time being. Scorpio, October 23rd, November 21st, 4 stars. You will enjoy chance meetings with those from your past. A reunion with a longtime friend is likely. You consider the pursuit of a dream once abandoned. Get in touch with your inner voice for direction. Tonight, consult with a group. Sagittarius, November 22nd, December 21st, 5 stars. Today is all about professional aspirations and your ambitions. You will attract attention. Pursue opportunities that showcase your capabilities. You're entering a more promising security cycle. You might have gone from rags to riches more than once. Tonight, a sigh of relief. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th, 5 stars. Expect an increase in energy and motivation. Take time to exercise. Travel is favored, as are journeys of the mind and spirit. There is much to learn. If you've always yearned to write, now is the time. Tonight, a sense of the miraculous prevails. Aquarius, January 20th, February 18th, 4 stars. Today puts you in tune with your potential. Fate is at work in your life. Some things just are and are not meant to be. Appreciate synchronicities and you'll be guided to manifest what's best. Heed signs. Tonight, your energy level is especially high. Pisces, February 19th to March 20th, 3 stars. Today reveals much about a close partner. Companions offer suggestions. Reality is clouded. If in doubt, wait for the facts to be revealed before making choices. Revel in the attraction of opposites. Tonight, a much sought-after dinner with a loved one.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.